Hello and welcome to Osiris in Action. With the European Green Deal striving to make Europe sustainable and carbon neutral by 2050, environmental assessments of cosmetic products have become essential. In this podcast, we will detail the measures taken to evaluate and ensure environmental safety of cosmetic products and the importance of expert guidance during this process. The European regulatory framework for environmental safety of cosmetics includes REACH and CIP regulation, along with cosmetic-specific legislation. You can find more information on the white paper attached with this podcast. My name is Marion, and I'm an ecotoxicologist within Intertech Assuris team. Today, I'm joined by Anne-Sophie, our project safety manager and pharmacist toxicologist, to navigate this vital aspect of the cosmetic industry.
Thank you, Marion. Hello, everyone. I'm Anne-Sophie, and I'm delighted to be able to delve into these topics with you, Marion. Before we begin, I think it's important to clarify what environmental assessment means.
Of course, in essence, environmental assessment is a comprehensive process that scrutinizes the potential environmental risk and hazards associated with the use of specific substances or finished products. These evaluations are particularly crucial in industries like cosmetics, which deals with a wide range of chemicals and formulation. According to the regulatory frameworks, cosmetic manufacturers are required to furnish pertinent data on environmental hazards represented by three key pillars. One, the intrinsic properties of the substance. Two, the substance face in the environment and the substance impact on living organisms in those environments. When it comes to cosmetic products, consideration also extends to potential exposure routes. For instance, rinsed off products, substances may find their way into aquatic ecosystems, even reaching agricultural soil. This prompts inquiries into degradation, mobility, and bioavailability, along with potential impact on organisms.
Interesting, Marion. I believe regulatory agencies such as the ECHA, for example, have laid down a series of guidance to help with assessment, no? Compliance with these standards is crucial to ensure products meet the necessary environmental criteria. Can you explain to us what the main requirements are?
Certainly, Anne-Sophie. Suppliers and importers must generate reliable and reproducible data on physico-chemical properties, fate, and ecotoxicology relevant to the calculation of safe concentration, like the predicted no-effect concentration of chemicals in the environment. The extent of information required by REACH depends on the estimated production volume of the product or ingredients, with lower volume necessitating less data than higher volume production. Downstream users, who may be formulators, are not only responsible for implementing risk management, but plays a crucial role in transmitting pertinent information to the client and informing suppliers about the use of the mixture or ingredients. However, we must remember that CLP regulation does not require a specific tonnage. Classification and labeling must be performed for all substances and mixtures registered in REACH database.
So it means that a manufacturer or importer could benefit from expertise in the environmental assessment aspect as well as a regulatory obligation. Similarly, the downstream user must ensure that the effective use of and condition of use align with the condition described in the received exposure scenarios.
Exactly. In practice, environmental safety assessment typically relies on a scientific evidence-based methodology. The main role of an expert will include 1. Evaluating the safety of any individual ingredients or formulation using a screening approach, and 2. Understanding and strategizing how to achieve regulatory compliance for those ingredients or formulations, including monitoring new regulatory trends and data. Moreover, when information gaps are identified, our experts can determine the best way to fill them. For instance, the use of in silico methods, grouping or read-across approaches can help generate missing data.
Oh yes, this was actually topics we discussed in a recent podcast on in silico approach. Today, European regulation actively advocate for the adoption of alternative testing methods like this to eliminate animal testing. Intertech experts can indeed help select and employ computer models and other approaches that obviate the need for animal experiments. So it sounds like the expert's role is essential to ensuring environmental safety. How exactly would their input translate into environmental specification?
Well, to start, we aim to avoid substances that are persistent, bioaccumulative, ecotoxic, mobile, and endocrine disruptors in multiple compartments. A persistent bioaccumulated and toxic substance, or PBT, is one that demonstrates prolonged environmental persistence, substantial accumulation in living organisms, and potential toxicity. These substances raise concern because they can endure in the environment and accumulate within organisms over time. By contrast, a very persistent and very bioaccumulative substance, or VPVB, exhibits both traits of high persistence and bioaccumulation. There is even a category of very persistent and very mobile, or VPVM, which refers to a substance displaying both high persistence and significant mobility, meaning easy movement within the environment. These criteria are outlined in the Annex 13 of the REACH regulation. For environmental hazard assessment, three main compartments are considered: water, soil, and air. For aquatic risk assessment, freshwater and marine environment are considered separately, as well as the water columns and sediment.
Interesting. On that note, the next step for the European Commission is to add new hazard classes and criteria to the CLP regulation to fully address environmental toxicity, persistency, mobility, and bioaccumulation. For more information on this, you can find our What's News about the CLP regulation, Introduction of New Hazard Classes, Their Meaning and Their Impact webinar in our Intertech website. Now, let's shift our focus to the practical aspects. During a step-by-step assessment by one of our experts, what are the main questions they might ask?
Well, cosmetic products are complex formulations with a wide range of physicochemical properties. With a meticulous one substance, one assessment approach, our initial focus is on examining each constituent of a mixture individually. We determine the predominant environmental compartment where the substance is likely to accumulate. We delve into assessing the substance using specific criteria, considering various contributing factors for compliance or non-compliance with relevant regulatory restriction. Then, as a crucial next step, we provide guidance and expertise on further testing, employing bioassay or in silico data where possible, following OECD guidelines that prescribe recommended methodology for assessing environmental impact of substances. Our highly detailed evaluation process is designed to maintain the delicate balance between product innovation and regulatory compliance.
That sounds excellent, Mario. Our team stands ready to guide you through the complexity of environmental assessment, but also ensuring your formulation align with the highest standards of safety and sustainability.
We do indeed. To our listeners, whether you're a formulator, a brand owner, or part of the cosmetic industry, remember that each step of the assessment process plays a crucial role in the compliance and safety. From data collection to safety evaluation, we're here to support you on the journey towards environmentally conscious cosmetics.
Thanks again, Marion, and thank you all for joining us on this episode of Assuris in Action. Until next time.